God knows just what we need when we need it. Amen. It's always been a pleasure for my wife and I to be around and with and in the company and fellowship of Brother and Sister Sutton. They have proven themselves to be great friends. Amen. I hope you found that to be true in your life. Amen. And I think I'm going to preach to you today out of the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. It's good to see familiar faces. And then it's always just more joyful to see faces not so familiar, because that lets me know the church is growing and moving and expanding. Somebody else say amen early on. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. We had to try to be here Sunday morning and Sunday night when we started this business last year. But the way the calendar worked out and the schedule, there was no way I could be where I need to be next week. So we're going to be with you just today, this morning. Yet I know that God does not need a lot of time. What he needs is a willing heart. Come on, somebody. And if you're willing, God can do something for you even today, even this morning. Amen. But there must be an open window of willingness in your life for God to reach in wherever you are. Does anybody believe that today? Isaiah 55 and verse 6. I left my glasses in Josh's car, so I have to flip it on the screen for me because I can't see it. It's okay. Isaiah 55 and 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Amen. That's what I want to talk to you about. He is near. Is that all right? He is near. It'll make sense here in a minute. Look at somebody who said, he is near. Amen. You may be seated. I am glad to have my wife in the service with me today. Pastor Sutton and I are already working on coming back for a few days to be with y'all next year, and hopefully we can get that worked out. And he mentioned fishing, and I said, man, you don't want to do that. My wife will come to Birmingham and never leave. She loves that fishing stuff, you know, all those boats and waters. Me, I got to stay on the ground, you know what I'm saying? Isaiah comes to us with impeccable credentials. He is a prophet of the courts of the kings. He is a man of just great, great diplomacy. And his writings are very particular. The first, I think, five chapters, I think Isaiah had a bad attitude. Because every time you read his writings, it says, woe are you, and woe is this, and woe is that, and woe is he. But something happened in chapter 6. He said, in the year that King Uriah, I saw the Lord. See, he and the king were personal friends, and the king got lifted up, and he went into the temple and began to do what he thought he could do because he was big and bad enough, and he got leprosy and the Lord smote him. Just because you can don't mean you should. Somebody didn't hear what I was saying yet. Just because you can do something doesn't mean that you have the right to do it. Huh. I wish I had a little help early on in the sermon today. Amen. And not only that, just because you have the authority to do something or the power to do something. Amen. God has timing, and there's things that have to happen in the timing of God. And he thrust him out, and he died. And so it was in that year he said, I saw the Lord, and he was high and lifted up. From that point, Isaiah said, not woe is you, not woe is him, but woe is me. Yeah. Amen. Right. Not too many amens in the house. Yeah. I think what we need to do is get a fresh look at Jesus. Amen. It's easy to look at ourselves and think that we're doing a great job, think that we're better than everybody else. But when you get a look at Jesus, you'll say, woe is me. Amen. And so it was there, and then the whole writings, his prophetic utterance begins to change. He goes into a great messianic situation, that one encounter with seeing God high and lifted up. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Change the way, because see, when God uses you, he uses your nature, your character. Everything flows through what and who you are. Amen. And so there had to be a change in Isaiah's life in order for his prophetic utterance and the gifts of God that was in him to take on the right type of cadence and rhythm. Amen. It is not enough to be used of God. It is not enough to be to have the Spirit of the Lord flow through you. You've got to make sure that your own personal attitude. Come on. You see, if you're angry, you're always going to be prophesying angry stuff. Y'all don't want to help me early on. It's okay. You see, and so we've got to make sure my own spirit is right with the Lord. Why should I have a word for you when I can't even get a word for me? Why do I have direction for everybody else and I'm the one that's lost and drifting? Amen. Don't ever let the gift get bigger than you are. Somebody's not hearing what I'm saying. There are men that let the gift overtake them, and that's where they fall. The gifts of God are great, but they must be tempered with prayer. They must be tempered with meekness. They must be tempered with humility. Otherwise, you will find yourself in an egotistical, pride bearing arrogant fool, and God will cast you to the side. Oh, you'll still have the gift. Oh yeah, I know. We'll talk about that some other time. You'll still have the gift, but you'll just be operating in your own human spirit. I want to have the hand of God upon me and the favor of God upon me too. Amen. So now Isaiah's coming. He's got this great messianic situation going on, and then he goes into this revelatory type of prophetic ministry. He just keeps going up in dimensions. You know, it is because of Isaiah that we say, I am the Lord, even I, and there's none beside me. I mean, it's because of Isaiah's changing and his growth in God that we have all these scriptures dealing with the modality of the oneness of God. And we can thank him for that. But now he comes to a place in 55 where he says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Now, when he uses the word while, and I don't understand that, my mind has to work now, because seemingly there is to me somehow an impression that Isaiah leaves a positive and a negative with us on that particular scripture. If he says, while he may be found, then it may be that there is times when God cannot be found. Y'all not going to help me either. Amen. And to call upon him when? While he is near. So it gives us the impression that God sometimes draws closer to us than at other times. That there is a great impression in my mind that God is accessible at more accessible at some times than he is at other times. There is a heavy implication in this scripture that God is closer to me at some seasons in my life than he is at others. There's also here, the scripture is trying to get us to see that there's windows of opportunities when we are accessible to him and he is accessible to us. And it behooves me to take advantage of every opportunity. I can tell y'all not gonna help me today. It behooves you and I to take advantage of every opportunity when with either with my sensory perceptions or with my spiritual perception or just with the knowledge of faith that I have, that when God draws near unto me, he said, for if you will draw nigh unto me, I wish somebody come on and help me preach. I'm in the Bible. This is not the Reader's Digest. I'm reading from your Bible. If you will draw nigh unto me, then I will draw nigh unto you. You see, you must seek him while in the opportunity, in the window, in the occasion, in the season when he draws nigh unto you. Now God doesn't always get close to you when you want him to get close to you. Oh, Lord, I'm going to have to preach to some of us today. You see, God doesn't work in the opportunity of our comfort zones. Sometimes God draws close to us, amen, when we don't really want him to be close. Oh, you're not hearing what I'm preaching. Amen. And then when we seemingly want him there, he doesn't seemingly show up when we want him to show up. God's trying to let you know that I will not cater to your schedule. You got to cater to my schedule. Come on now. You can't seek God when you want to seek him. You got to seek him while he may be found. You can't call on God when you want to call on him. You got to call on him when you perceive that he is nigh unto you and he has moved into you. Oh, you're not hearing what I'm preaching today. So what are you saying, preacher? You be because, see, friend, you see, just like I am, you are, and we are, amen, because of our humanity. Amen. How many times has God tried to call you and I, and we say, not now, God? Oh, come on. Amen. You may then say it out of your mouth, but your attitude said, not right now, God. I got some part. Oh, you're not hearing what I'm saying. How many times did God come close to us and say, I want you to serve me? But we said, not now, God. I got some more drugs I want to do. I got some party I need to do. I know I need to go to church, but not right now. I'm not. Oh, come on, help me. I haven't really got my mind. Oh, some of you are saying that right now. God's dealing with you and drawing with you, but rather than you abandoning yourself, rather than you saying, okay, God, such as I have, give I unto thee, we're telling God, not right now. You know you need to get right, but you're saying not right now. My situation, my circumstances, everything is not in line for me to do what God. No. When God draws close to you and begins to call you and begins to draw you and the conviction comes to you, that's when you need to drop everything you're doing and go with the flow of the power of the Holy Ghost. There is no perfect time to make up your mind. You're not hearing what I'm preaching to you yet, are you? I said there is no perfect time to say I'm going to serve the Lord today. But when God's pulling on your heart, when God's tugging, I wish I had some amens in the house. When God's tugging on you, that's the right time. When you feel conviction, and you're not hearing what I'm saying. Sometimes we sit there with conviction all over us. And we know we need to get up and get to the altar, but we'll wait to another service. We'll wait for another revival. We'll wait for another preacher. We'll wait next year. The ARC, the camp meeting, but honey, I'm telling you, when God moves on you, that's the time to move.
Not when your situation gets better. Not when your husband gets better. Not when your wife gets better. Not when your job gets better. No, you're not hearing what I'm preaching. But when God calls you, when God moves, that's the time to move. Your husband may not get any better. That's why God's telling you move now. You're not hearing what I'm preaching. Your marriage may not. You're not hearing. Somebody better hear what I'm preaching. I don't know who I'm talking to in the house, but you can't wait till your marriage get better to move. You got to move when God says move. Come on, come on, come on, come on. How would somebody help me preach up in the house? You can't wait till your job gets better. It may not ever get better. You can't wait till your situation get better. It may not get better. You cannot wait till your circumstances get better. It may not get better, but if you'll move when God wants you to move, your situation may not get better, but you will. Your marriage may not get better, but you will. Your husband may not get better, but you will. Your wife may not get better, but you will. Who am I preaching to in this house? What you got to do is not worry about your situation, but you got to draw nigh unto the Lord while he may be found. When he is near, move. Fred Hammond said, just to be close to you. Well, you can't get close to him until he calls you close. You didn't hear what I'm saying. You can't get close to God. That's why it's such a struggle. That's why it's a fight. For no man cometh except the Spirit. Come on. You just can't wake up one morning and think you're going to get close to God. No. It don't work like that. God doesn't. Listen, God's not warm and fuzzy like you want him to be. It don't work like that. He's God. I'm going to break your heart. I'm going to mess with your head, but he's not a Democrat. He's not a Republican. Can I go a little further? He's not even a Pentecostal. He is God. And besides him, there is no other. And God will just get in the whim and say, come here. You can't tell the king not now. You didn't hear what I'm preaching. No. If you've got any sense, you will come when he calls you. Said, but what about my condition? I'm glad you asked. He said, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. For he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. He's saying there's no situation that you can find yourself in that the mercies and the grace of God cannot pull you out of. It doesn't matter how long you've been in that trouble or that condition or that situation. When God begins to call, it's because that he wants to do a work in your life. I've heard people say, as soon as I get good enough, I'm going to get God. As soon as I get it all straightened out, as soon as I get straightened out, preacher. The problem with that is, honey, you can't get good enough to get God. You have to get God to get good. Or you're not hearing what I'm preaching to you today. There's not one. There's none good. No, not one. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. You can't do enough to get good enough. You just got to come to God in the condition that you're in and then let him, you're not hearing what I'm preaching to you. If you're broke down, come to God broke down. He will fix you up. If you're hurt, come to him hurt. If you're depressed, come to him. No matter what kind of condition you're in, come to God in that condition because he's going to change it for you. So just He said, forsake your ways and your thoughts. What does that mean? The ways, the pathways, the ways that we're walking, and our thoughts would govern the way we walk. He said, if you'll forsake those things and return unto the Lord. Why? Because he will abundantly pardon. And then the next verse I thought had nothing to do, but he said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Now see, I thought that when I began to read that, I thought that the whole candor or the rhythm of the scripture had changed into another thought pattern. But what God is saying is this: I am not like a man. I don't think the way men think. Y'all not hearing what I'm saying? Because see, when you make a mistake in front of a man, you are then branded by your mistake. As far as they're concerned, you never get over it. They always mark you and identify you with your faults, your failures, and your mistakes. Now, somebody ought to hear what I'm preaching. But God says, I am not like a man. I know how to forgive. I know how, you're not hearing what I'm saying. Amen. You may make a mistake and your daddy may hold that over you for the rest of your life. But God says, I am not your earthly father. I am your heavenly father. And I do not identify you by the mistakes you make. I do not identify you by your failures and your faults and your inconsistencies. You're not hearing from me. Because my ways are not like your ways. And my thoughts are not like your thoughts. Then in another scripture, he says, for I know the thoughts that I have of you. They are thoughts of peace, come on, and to do you, I come to tell somebody that God doesn't appear to you to do you wrong. He comes to you to do you good. God doesn't visit you to knock you down, honey. He visited you so he can pick you up from the place you've been knocked down. God's not listening. Come on, I wish somebody help me preach. God's not looking to mess me up. God's looking to bless me up. I wish somebody come on and have church with me this morning. When God looks at me, honey, he doesn't look at me where I was in my drugs. He looks at me now as a son of God. Y'all not hearing what I'm preaching today. I don't know where you've been until you got here, but when you repented of your sins and you got baptized in Jesus' name, God wiped your slate clean. As far as God's concerned, you never were. You're not hearing what I'm saying. Not only are you not a drug addict, but you've never been one before. As far as God's concerned, you're not hearing what I'm saying. As far as God's concerned, you never were a crackhead. You ain't one now. You've never been. You're not hearing what I'm saying. He said, I have separated you from your sins. I know how you think, but don't you think that I think like you. That's, he says, so come on and talk to me. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. I wish somebody come on and help me preach today. He said, come on and let's talk about your condition. Come on and let's talk about your situation. Come on, let's talk about the things that you're going through. You think he doesn't know. You think he doesn't know who you are. You think he doesn't know what you're going through. You think he doesn't know what you're fighting. You think he doesn't know the turmoil inside of your spirit. But he said, if you just come and talk to me about it, come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, I will make them as wool. And though they be red like crimson, I'll make them white as snow. When you think nobody cares, there's one that sits on the throne. You think I don't know what you're fighting? You think I don't know what you've been praying? You think I don't hear you when I call, when you call on me? You think I'm just letting, no, you don't understand. You've got to take advantage of every opportunity. Don't let that devil cause you to sit there when you know you ought to be moving. I don't care what my condition says. I'm interested in what my God says. I don't care what my circumstances is dictating. I want to hear what thus saith the word of the Lord. Whose report will you you believe, the report of your antagonistic, your report of your failure, or the report of the Lord that says, I am more than a conqueror through him that loved me. Whose report are you going to believe? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It's time to draw nigh, because he is close. He is near. You think I don't know? We get afraid. We feel God. God's pulling on us. And we, and in our mind, we say, I can't go up there. I'm messed up. I'm tore up from the flow up. Come on, you know I'm telling you the truth. We don't want to raise our hands because we don't feel good enough. We don't feel right enough. We don't feel worthy enough. We don't think we deserve. You're not here. I'm preaching. Who am I preaching to in this building? So we'll sit there in the congregation and fold our arms. We'll sit there because the devil has convinced us. Our flesh has convinced us. Our carnal nature has convinced us that I can never be, I can never measure up. I can never do what they said. But I'm telling you, it is not what you can do, but it's what God can do in you. It's what God, you're not hearing what I'm preaching to you today. Nobody can do this thing on their own. Nobody can live for God on their own. That's why God give you the Holy Ghost, for you shall receive after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, power to work, power to walk, power to talk, power to live right like God wants you to live. I know my thoughts, I know my ways, I know what I'm going to, I know what's happening. See, we think the things that happen behind closed doors, things that happen in closet places, things that happen in the dark of night when the lights don't shine, that nobody knows. But there is a God whose eyes peer through the darkness. You're not hearing what I'm saying. I'm preaching to some physically abused wife. Nobody might know your husband hits on you, but God knows. You're not hearing what I'm saying. You know how it is. When he's in front of everybody, he's acting all lovey-dovey. But when he gets you home, come on and help me preach, see? And see, you'll sit there and you'll think that God is like your husband. But he ain't nothing like. Your husband is a jerk. Listen, let me tell you something, sir. If that's all the kind of man you are, that you strike a woman, you're not a man at all. I'd walk out the door. Listen, I'll put my hands in my pocket and walk out the door before I strike my wife. Okay, how mad she may, I don't care what she does. She can strike me, but I will not strike her back. Why? Because God gave me my wife. Listen, to nurture her, to feed her, to allow her to blossom to be. Doesn't happen by striking. When God wants to bless us, he doesn't strike us. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But don't worry. It's not only men that strike women today. Now we got some girls in the house that want to go to war. We got some women that want to rise up thinking they all that and a bag of chips. And they want to just... You better be careful. God is very protective of his children. Sir, when you hit that woman that has the Holy Ghost, that's God's daughter. Now listen. Shaq wears size 22, but he's only 7 foot something. God's a lot taller than Shaq. Now I don't know what size shoe God's wear, but if it's bigger than 22, I don't want it all up in me. You know what I'm saying? Because you keep messing with that woman and God's going to get on you. You're not hearing what I'm preaching. You see, the problem with marriage is that we've lost respect for one another. Not too many amens in the house. I said we have lost respect for one another. We have lost our position in the home. The husband and the wife are supposed to be submitted one to another. I know you go out and work, and I know you bring home the bacon, brother, but that don't make you all of that in a bag of chips. I don't have time to mess with all this. But you better listen to me. You better listen to me. We're submitted one to another. It's just not your wife submitting to you because you're the man. And bless God, what I say, go. You know, pulling your pants up so high you give your own self a raspberry. Come on. We are laborers together. We're working together. We're praying together. We're worshiping together. We're serving Lord together. We're trying to see out of the same prism of thought and mind. You see what I'm saying? And God is calling, and he's desperately trying to get us to come to the same place. See? What good is all of this? And we come to the house of the Lord, then we go home, and it's a hellhole. Let God affect you here. Let God deal with you here. Let God deal with your heart. Now listen, I'm done. I don't know why I'm on this. Listen, let me get on this. I had a real, you know, my wife does this. We do this to each other. This is the way we correct ourselves, you know. And for a long time, be seated. I'll get back on my sermon. For a long time, it was like, God, you know, you got to help me with this woman because she's out of her mind. You see, women think men are crazy, but they don't think that we think that they are crazy. See? So we can laugh. Y'all laugh. What do you mean we crazy? We ain't crazy. I got good senior. Nah. Women are strange things. You know, one day it's like, oh, I love you so much. You're the best thing that ever happened to me. And the next day it's like, you up in here? What you doing? Ain't you got somewhere to go? Don't you need to be at work? It's like, I thought I was the best thing that ever happened. That was yesterday, fool. You ain't. Today you in my way. Oh, Lord Jesus. You know, guys, they're weird. You know, we go, we stand and open up the refrigerator and scratch. Just standing there. What you looking for, baby? I don't know, man. Damn. You know what's in there because you just did that about 15 minutes ago. Just stood there. Question is, see, because here's what we do. We ask God to do all these things to our spouses. And usually what we're telling God is to make them more like us. Lord, I want my husband to do this, 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 because those are the things that suit you. And my question to you is this, do you really want to be married to yourself? Because if you do, you should stay single. I don't want to marry me. I can't hardly stand myself, so why do I want to make my wife like me? Come on and help me preach. And you can't hardly stand you, so why you want to make your husband like you? So I'm praying, God, do this to my wife and make her do this and make her do that. I can't do nothing. She's crazy. She's out of her mind. She's just do. And God stopped me. He said, I don't need to change your wife. I goes, oh, yeah, you do. He says, no, I don't. I goes, oh, yeah, you do. I said, God, you was never married. I mean, you know, you came down for 33 years and you just hung out all by yourself. You don't have no idea what's going on up in here. It's like, Let me school you, man. Let me tell you what's happening. He said, the problem is not your wife. The problem is you. Now me and God got a real big problem. Like, come on, man. You can't break the brother off like that. So rather than praying for God to do things to my wife, I had to change the whole deal. I had to pray, God, do something in me. So we don't like that. See, it's better for us to point our finger at everybody else and not realize that, oh, have mercy. Come on, it's better to blame your spouse. It's better to blame your husband and your wife for all your problems instead of looking at the mirror and saying, you know what? Here is where the problem begins, and here is where the problem gonna end. I knew I was gonna get too many amens on this. That's why when I deal with married people, I never listen to one, never listen to the husband or the wife. I got to hear both of them. Because, you know, arguments are like pancakes. Yeah, that's right. They all got two sides. I don't care how thin that thing is. There's another side to it. Okay, just nod your head like a good Baptist. If you can't say amen like a Pentecostal. I'm getting rid of that. Let's go back to what I'm talking about. So, if there are occasions and situations, if there are opportunities and windows when God is drawing close and calling me, then it behooves me to not only take advantage of those occasions, but it behooves me to understand and to know when those occasions or those windows open up to me. Sometimes we can feel with our sensory perceptions that God's in the house. You know, we get the doodads, the goosebumps, you know, and we get the what I call the hotas. Hotas. Y'all know y'all do that. Y'all don't do the whole time? What do y'all? Y'all must have called it something else. What y'all call it around here? Shamu? Shamu. Sometimes I think it's project's names, you know, Shanika. You know, Lawanda, Shanika, halala, you know. See, when we can feel that, then we're ready, you know. It's like, oh, I can feel, you know, I can feel the whole time in the house. Now we're ready to go. But you see, God was moving way before your whole time. Sometimes you can't trust in your little whole time. Oh, I know you know it's right, but you just don't want to say amen. He said, "What two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I." When he says, am I, it doesn't mean in a transitory sense. It doesn't mean I was someplace, now I'm here, and then I'm going someplace else. No, and the word am I means there am I in the fullness of everything that I am. Ooh, I wish somebody help me preach. As soon as two or three blood bought, spirit filled, water baptized, power seeking saints of the Most High. As soon as two or three of you get in here, God says, woof, there am I. That means if nobody else comes, he's still here. That means if the PA system goes out and the music never starts, he's still here. That means if the oh, God, have mercy. If the drum set doesn't work and the battery on the bass don't work and all the praise singers lost their voice, he's still here. That means if all the tambourines got stolen and you don't feel goosebumps and hotas, you're not hearing what I'm happening. And so when we get together, the one thing we need to mentally understand, I may not can feel him, but he said where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I, then That means that I can move anytime in this service toward him. Because we are here, he is here. That means from the time you walk in to the time the last amen, anytime you can move because God's close. You say, but I don't feel him. You don't have to feel him to know. You're not hearing what I'm saying. Feelings were given to us when we were new converts because we didn't have any spirit in us. Come on. We weren't mature enough. We didn't have enough faith to understand. But as you get older, you begin not to trust on your feelings. For the just shall walk by faith. I don't have to feel God to know he's in the house. I don't have to dance because of a feeling. When I think about how good God's been, that's good enough. If I never feel him again, I have the knowledge of his. You're not hearing what I'm saying. If I ever feel him with my sensory perception, I can shout on the knowledge. I can shout on the revelation. I know who he is. I know what he's done. Why? Because we don't worship God because of our feelings. There's really only one reason to worship God. Only one. Everything else is an excuse. I got your attention for one time. There's only one reason. Everything else is an excuse. Let's worship God. No, we don't worship because he saved us. That's a good excuse to worship him. That ain't why we do it. Because he blessed us? No. It's a good excuse to do it, but it's not why we do it. Because he saved me? No. Mm-mm. Because he healed me? Mm-mm. He blessed me? Mm-mm. Picked me up? Mm-mm. Why? Because he alone is worthy.
Amen. Hallelujah.
That's it. Everything else is just good excuses.
Amen.
I don't worship him for joy or for victory or for this. No. Those are good excuses to get my dance on. Because if he never saved me, he's still worthy.
Amen. Amen.
I'm glad he saved me, but if he never saved me, God is still worthy to be. He was worthy before I was saved. You're not hearing what I'm preaching. If he never blesses you, he's still worthy. If he never heals you, he's still worthy. If you never feel him, he's still. Oh, come on. He said, for as the rain, be seated. Let me talk to him. We're just about done. For as the rain cometh down from heaven. Oh, Lord, I got to read this because this is good stuff. Oh, give me the next scripture, please. For as the heavens are next, please. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and make it bring forth and bud that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. My God, it shall not return unto me void. That means empty, unproductive, unfruitful. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. What is he trying to say? Here's what he's trying to say. As the rain and the snow, what does rain do to the earth? Rain waters the soil, and the snow packs in the hills. And then at certain times of season when it's warm, the snow from the hill releases its fluid and it flows down upon the earth that it may bring forth. So we are to look, we're not to look at what the scripture is saying. We're to look at the opposite of what he's saying to understand. He said, my word is like the rain on the earth. I'm sorry. And so what he's trying to get you to see, that if the earth has no rain and no snow, famine and is the next thing that's going to happen. Amen. If the earth has no rain, then it doesn't do any good for the farmer to plant, because there shall be no harvest. He's trying to get us to see what we become without the word of God. He said, because so shall my word be as the rain that cometh on the earth, as the snow that is packed in the mountains. That's what my word is to your spirit. Somebody's not hearing what I'm preaching. That's what happens in your spirit when my word comes to you. For my word shall not go out void. Y'all not hearing what I'm preaching at. You said, what are you trying to say, preacher? The Bible said, I have magnified my word higher than all of my names. What is he trying to say? I'm trying to tell you, friend, that the word of God is the greatest thing that can ever happen to you. That when you cannot feel the spirit of the Lord, and when your sensory perceptions do not understand that he's there, when you have no reason in your own mind and no excuse, and so everything in your heart is telling you, don't move, don't shout, don't worship, don't get involved. There is yet one more thing that should move you, and that is the power of the word of God. Because without that word, you'll become dry. Without that word, you become hardened. Without that word, you're not hearing what I'm preaching to you. The word of God is like rain on a dry place. You're not hearing what I'm preaching to you. I said the word of God to your spirit is like rain in a dry desert. Come on. Don't ever close your ear when the man of God gets in the pulpit, because that word's going to go out. It will not return unto the Lord void. It shall prosper. It shall accomplish something. It shall prosper whereunto it was sent. Let me help you. Come on. David said, thy word, O Lord. Y'all not helping me preach here today. Not the word that was in my ear, but the word that I hid in my heart. Somebody's not hearing what I'm preaching to you today. We don't come to church to get entertained. We come to church to get the word. Our dancing and our shouting, that's just to get me ready. Oh, you're not hearing what I'm preaching. That's do. I need rain. I wish somebody come on and help me. Dancing and shouting, honey, that's dew. That won't keep you for long. When the sun rises, the dew will dry up. But it rains. When the word rains, you're not hearing what I'm preaching to you. When the word rains on you, it'll still be there in the afternoon. It'll still be wet. The soil will still be moisture. The heat of the trial, when it gets dry, when hell is on your back, there's still moisture in the soil. There's something in me that won't let me come. I can remember a time in my life I didn't even know what was going on, but now I can see. We were just about ready to go out and evangelize. We were 6 months from it, and I went to this deep, dark trial. And hell said, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to destroy you, and then I'm going to kill you. At first I was like, nah, man. I prayed, and it got worse. It got darker. I could feel it. That thing would visit me in the nighttime. Just foreboding. Some of you are not hearing what I'm saying. Couldn't even function on my job. Y'all not hearing what I'm preaching. Went to church, couldn't feel a thing. A place I used to love, all of a sudden now I'm becoming critical. Somebody better hear me. I'm finding fault with everything, just critical, just really bad, really bad. And this ain't like me. I'm like, I love my church, but now I'm just like, oh.
So I'm praying. So I get a hold of myself and I'm praying, God, you know, you got to help me. I don't know if I can make this one. It's dark. I can't even see where I'm going. I don't know what's going on. What are you doing? Why is this happening? I pray and get a little glimpse, feel a little better. And then, only time I felt better when I was in the pulpit, it was released for a moment. Time I stepped out. He says, you don't understand. I got you. Amen. The devil told me that once before. We were casting the devil out of this woman. This thing jumped on top of me. Said, I had you before. And I said, yeah, but you ain't got me now. Get up off me and try a tic tac.
Hey, yeah.
I tried everything that you're supposed to try. Put on the CDs, preaching, put on the tapes, read Psalms 23 until my eyes got crossed. None of that stuff is doing me no good. I'm sorry. You know, you get the little box and you pull the thing out of the box. It's supposed to be just, you know, I threw the box away. This stuff ain't helping me. Hell had me convinced that it was going to destroy me. I was almost convinced. Then one day I was in the shower. I was washing my hair. And the word of the Lord came. That's when I had hair. I know I heard somebody laugh. I did have hair one time. And girl, you ain't going to be pretty forever, all right? I don't know. Well, you know how it is. But then the word of the Lord came. The word of the Lord came. Listen, it was not the logos, which is the theological movement of the word. It was the rhema. It was a fresh word. It wasn't some ooga booga mystical thing. You know, it was now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceedingly great joy. Now, I had read that scripture many times, but it was not on the forefront of my thought pattern. God reached way down in my spirit and pulled a word up that was already. You didn't hear what I'm saying.
That's good.
How can God reach in your spirit and pull a word up in you if you don't have the word already there? Some of y'all not hearing what I'm preaching. We better get that Bible out and get our nose back into it. Somebody's not hearing what I'm preaching today. We have a lot of things today that contain the word of God, but you don't need stuff that contain the word. You need the thing that is the word. Come on. I got nothing against videos or DVD that contain the word, but they contain something else too. Give me the unfiltered, unadulterated, unmutable. Oh, you're not hearing what I'm saying. I need the word, because Kurt Franklin can't save you. Mary can't sing you out of something. You're not hearing what I'm preaching to you. You ain't going to get saved by looking at Dr. Bobby Jones' gospel hour on Sunday morning. You better get to the house of God and get some word. Are y'all hearing me preaching to you today? This is not the time to stay home and pout and suck your thumb. It's time to get to the house of God and say, preacher, preach to me the word of the Lord, because that's what draws God closer to me. There's no, let me hear you. No. Come on. Some of y'all not hearing what I'm saying. This ain't the time to be laying out in the middle of the week just because your body says it's tired. It's time you quit letting your flesh dictate to you, and you need to dictate
take to your flesh. You don't understand, honey. I got to get to the house of God because there is a word that I've, come on, that's going to come down in me, that's going to accomplish those things, that's going to prosper some things. It will not. Come on, come. It ain't going to leave me empty. It's not going to leave me void. It's not going to leave me unfruitful. I hear people say crazy things. Well, one woman told me, hey, well, you know, I don't care what they preach. I eat the meat and throw away the bones. And I think, are you a fool? What do you mean you throw away the bone? Where you get that from? We pick up this little cliches. Eat the meat and throw away the bone. Well, where do you get that from? It definitely is not in the Bible. All the word of God is good. Oh, we like to do this. That one for me, so I'm going to pass it. No, you better not pass that word. You may not need it now, but you may need it. If you don't need that word now, open up, get your doggy bag and take it with you, because hell, you're not helping me. You better say, I don't need that word, but I'll take it to go. You don't know what's waiting on you when you get home. You're not hearing what I'm saying. It might not be to me now, but later on, in the midst of a storm, in the midst of a trial, in the midst of my temptation, that word is going to save me. I've been in times when I remember one time my mother cooked some pinto beans and some cornbread, and my sister said, Mama, where the meat? She said, you better meet Jesus. That's her. Because that's all the meat you're going to get around here. Wasn't no meat. But when you looked over in the pinto beans pot, I'll tell you what I did see. I saw a hawk bone. Oh, y'all don't know what ham hock. Oh, y'all don't know. Oh, we just got so sophisticated up in here now. We don't even know what a ham hock is no more. We didn't have a whole hock, baby. All we had was the bone of the hock. But let me tell you something about the bone. Around the bone is where the flavor is. There's still meat. You're not hearing what I'm saying. There's still meat around the bone that I can get down there and get the gnawing. You got to get the word and get the gnawing on it. Come on. You got to get the sucking on it. It's time we get hungry for the word of the Lord. It's time we get thirsty for the word. Feed bread of heaven. Feed me until I want no more. I'm telling you, we're getting like Israel. I'm just about done with getting like Israel. When they went and got manna, they looked at it and said, what is this? That's what manna means. What is this? Being interpreted, I don't want this. You didn't hear what I just said. I don't want this dough. God led them to the bitter waters of Marah. Why? That was before manna. The water was bitter because of the suspension of magnesium and potassium that made the water bitter. It also gave them a dysentery effect. They had stomach flu. So they cried unto Moses because, number one, the water was bitter, and number two, it gave them dysentery effect. But you see, Moses was not supposed to cast the root or the limb of the tree in the water. There was something in the sap of the tree that caused the suspension to disperse, and the magnesium and potassium went to the bottom of the water, and they became drinkable again. It was the biggest mistake that Moses ever made. God wanted them to drink the bitter water because he was trying to purge their systems of the diet of Egypt. And when they did not get purged, they never did want the word. They never did want the manna. Every time they got in trouble, the first thing they said, oh, I wish.
We were back in Egypt. You see, it doesn't take God much to get you out of the world, but it takes the world, it takes the word to purge the world out of you.
Amen.
Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? It's not just coming out of the world. It's letting the word of the Lord purge the world out of you. Because if he doesn't, every time you get in the trial, every time they got in a hard place, the very first thing, I wish I was back out there. When they saw the manna, said, I missed the leeks and the garlic. Well, wait a minute. You didn't miss them that much when you was crying under the load of your affliction. How come now all of a sudden you want leeks and garlics and melons and cucumbers? We need to allow the word of the Lord to do what it has to do in our spirit. We need to allow the word to draw us closer. Because, friend, you will never be as close to God as when that your pastor or whoever's preaching is expounding and preaching the authoritative, anointed word. God then, because you see, a name identifies, but the word reveals.
Yes.
Oh, y'all didn't get what I'm preaching. There is no greater revelation of who God is than his word. Names just identify his dealings with man in certain dispensational times, but his word has always revealed or manifest who he is in all times, spaces, and all dimensions, up including eternality and forever, from everlasting to everlasting. Because before we had a Bible, we had the word. The only reason Jesus exists is because the power of the word. Lo, I come in the volumes of books that was written and a body that thou hast prepared. Wow, because of the word. That's where the name of Jesus gets its power, from the word. The blood gets its power from the word. You're not hearing what I'm preaching. The presence of God gets its power from, because where the word of a king is, there is power. I wish somebody help me preach. Friend, get that. Come on. Dust that Bible off. Get it out from underneath whatever you got it buried on. Open that thing and said, God, open my understanding so that I can perceive, because I need you to water my spirit. You seek him while he may be found. You call upon him while he is near. And the greatest time to seek him and to call and to move toward him is when the word of God is going forth. That's when you open your spirit. I'm going to say it again. That's when you see, some of you are sitting here with closed spirit and the word of the Lord can't do anything for you. Because you got a barrier and you're trying to hold God at arm's length. You're gonna, that same God you're holding off now, you're gonna need one day.
Right.
Listen. That same word you need to be hearing today, you're gonna wish you had heard it. Jesus said, let him that hath an ear. You better hear what the Spirit. Why? Because that word, one of these days, may be the only thing that saves your carcass. It may be the only thing standing between you and a devil's hell. It may be the only weapon. It may be the only weapon, because when Jesus was in the wilderness, and I'm done, he didn't use beautiful soliloquies. He just told the devil, get thee hence. Now, some of the translations said, get behind me. But Mark said, get me hence. Mark said, I don't want you behind me. I don't want you on the side of me. I don't want you in front of me. I want you hence. From hence ever you came, that's where I want you to go. Get up on out of here. Everybody standing. He told the devil, you ain't got to go home, but you got to leave here.
Amen. Amen.
You got to get hence. So, who is God talking to today? Let's see. Who is God trying to get to move today? Whose attention is God trying to desperately get? If you don't know the Lord, he's talking to you. He's saying today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. Harden not your heart. Now is the time to move. If you're a backslider, the message is the same. Today is the day. Now is the acceptable time. While you can hear his voice, return unto the Lord. Because it doesn't make any difference what you've done. He shall abundantly pardon. If you're in the midst of confusion, if you're in the midst of turmoil, if you're in the midst of a trial, if everything in your world is falling apart, then he's talking to you. For my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? If you're weak and you're disgusted and you're barely making it, he's talking to you. For as the rain comes down, so shall my word be. It's strength to the weak. It's rest to the weary. It's honey to those that are hungry. It's bread. You're not hearing what I'm preaching to you. So who really is God talking to today? I know it's been sort of a scattered sermon. I apologize for that. But I felt that God was deal here a little bit here because I don't have time. But how many marriages are God talking to today? See, the word of God does you no good if you don't take that word and make it applicable to yourself. You got to forget and not worry about what people might think about you because you're going through something. And you got to say, you know what, God, I know you're talking to me, so let me just get up and move right now. Sometimes you can't wait for the formal altar call. Because the first one that steps in the water is the one that's, you're not hearing what I'm preaching. Some of you, I know God's talking to you because we met eye to eye and face to face while I was preaching. But I'm just telling you right now, if you'll move, God will move. He said, if you'll draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. Whatever you need, God said, I will supply. Come on, why don't you raise your hands? If you got a specific need, if you got something special you need God to do, if you need the Holy Ghost, you ought to come right now. If you got trouble in your home, you ought to look at yourself right now and say, God, whatever I need to do, change me. Change me, Jesus. Change me right now. Make me brand new. Make me over again. Heal my hurts and my pains and my wounds right now. Come on, come on, come on, forgive me, come on. If you need forgiveness, why don't you ask the Lord, forgive me of my sins and all of my transgressions, God, and he will abundantly pardon. Why don't you lift your hands and bring an offering? Come on, bring a sacrifice of praise right now. God, I don't want my own spirit to get in the way. I don't want my own flesh to get in the way. I need you more than I need my next breath. God, I need you. God, more. God, I need you. I need to draw closer to you. Heal me, God, from the crown of my head and the sole of my feet. You know me. You know all of my hurts, all of my wounds right now. Somebody ought to be crying out right now. Come on, you ought not be praying pretty. You ought not be praying pretty. You need to get some desperation. Come on, you ain't got time to pray cute. Your soul is hanging in the balance. You need to pray like your life depends on it because it does. You need to ram back and let the devil know, I'm not afraid anymore. I'm not afraid of the, come on, come on, come on. Come on, you're not done. Come on, you need to pray like something's going crazy in your life. Come on, you need to pray like you're knocking down a wall, like you're tearing up something. Come on. You need to pray until the foundations of hell begins to shake. Come on, come on. You can't be pretty. You can't be cute and do this.
You got to get mean. You got to get nasty. You got to get down and get dirty right now. Jesus! Come on, you ought to lay hands on somebody right now. Come on. You ought to put your hands on somebody right now. Unlock them right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh! Oh! Somebody ought to be praying like, come on, you ought to be praying like, pray till you feel an anointing. Come on, you. Pray until something break forth in the spirit. Come on. You got to believe he's going to do it for you. You got to believe he's going to heal your body. You got to believe he's going to unlock the door. You got to believe he's going to know. You got to believe he's going to break it open right now.